Welcome back to the greatest podcast in Fort Worth. One of the many reasons to come see Fort Worth is to see your good friends Billy Wessels and Clint Foster. Clint, how are you doing today?
Oh, just, you know, sitting here, like you said, in the greatest city in America, greatest podcast in the world. The Toad Talk. I almost said the old name that shall not be mentioned.
Yes. It shan't be named. But, yes.
Yeah, doing great. You know, it's another day, another opportunity for life. Breath in my lungs. Frogs are 2-0 by the skin of our froggy teeth. But you know, got an SMU game that I can't remember the last time I was this excited about an SMU game. I'm one of those guys who's always excited to beat up on SMU. One of the few. But man, if you're not excited for the game this year, you might want to check your pulse.
I think North Richland Hills native Rasheed Rice made that a very popular thing this week to get excited for this game. So we'll see.
Yeah, Mister, I'm from Fort Worth, even though I'm not really, and I'm gonna trash my hometown that I am not actually from.
Yes. So we'll have a very special prediction game for him in this game this week. We'll break down the TCU-SMU game coming up on Saturday morning. And how they're just going to play on Saturday mornings forever, it seems like. And then we got some soccer news. They're playing right now in their first Big 12 game of the season. 0-0, 0-0 at halftime, as it were. And we'll talk a little bit about volleyball. They start Big 12 play coming up soon. And then Twitter questions there at the end. But yes, the biggest news of the week is Rasheed Rice. Am I even saying that right? I don't know who this guy is. He went on Twitter, or not on Twitter, was it the press conference? It was talking about how no one comes to Texas to go to Fort Worth, and how it's not a good city, and Dallas is way better. And he couldn't be more wrong about literally anything in his life.
And he said that TCU was scared to play SMU last year, which can you even imagine?
I cannot.
Can you even imagine?
I love GP at his press conference this week throwing the receipts. Check the phone records. We called them. They didn't call us back. So.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. Like, COVID was a problem for everybody last year. I did also love the shade that GP threw, where he said, and neither of us played in the bowl game.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Ours, of course, because of COVID. They're because of, you know, whatever issues they were having. But, yeah, I'm so excited. I'm oh so excited to just hopefully put a thrashing on SMU such that we have not done since, 2014. Just absolutely... just curb stomp them. That's what I really, really want to do.
Yeah, these games are always kind of ridiculously stupid, though, right? They're almost like mini Cheez-It Bowls or something weird always happens. There's a crazy rain delay or this, that, or the other thing. So I'm not expecting a blowout, but I do think TCU comes out ready to play. Coming off the bye week where SMU needed a Hail Mary to defeat Louisiana Tech, which TCU, I think, won by 50 points. I think they just scored another touchdown against the Bulldogs at the end of last season. Yeah, they ran up the score on them last year, and SMU was not as – I don't know. They're beating off some cupcake schedules right now. They're beating Louisiana Tech. They're beating North Texas. And I think Abilene Christian is their other win. So, yes, they are technically leading the country in passing touchdowns. And Tanner Mordecai is top 10 in every stat and quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah, and, you know, surprisingly, he does not have a 3-foot-long gray beard, as I would assume someone with that name would have. But, you know, SMU, they're going to play good offense. They're always going to come ready to play TCU. It's always their Super Bowl. They're not shy about that. But I was actually looking up. I wanted to see the last time that TCU lost to SMU and then had to take a year off from the game before getting another crack at them and see how that went. Okay, and not quite as authoritative as I was hoping for, but you know, the Frogs lost to SMU in Dallas in 2005. I was at that game. It was the week immediately after beating Oklahoma in Norman. Yep. So Frogs kind of sleepwalked, assumed that they would just be able to show up and win that game. Lost that game in 2005, took 2006 off, then came back and won in 2007, 21-7. So not a blowout by any means, but definitely a decisive win.
Yes.
And then, the other time that SMU, beat us, which was while I was in school in 2011, in an overtime game, I might add.
Freaking Sky Dawson.
Yeah. He shall not be named. He who lost a couple of games for us in his career. Love you, Sky. Back in, and then in 2012, that was the very next year, won 24-16. So usually these SMU games, because they come so ready to play, they give us all we can handle for at least three quarters, and then we kind of pull away in the end. But, I mean, there have been games in this series, 2016 is one, for example, 33-3, 56-0 in 2014. There have been games when TCU has just decided that they're not going to do any of that and just put them away. And hopefully the Frogs, hopefully having the extra week off, the year to stew on that loss last year, and a heck of a lot of talent, frankly, hopefully this bye week came at the exact perfect time and we can just really go out there and just put this one to bed early.
Yeah, we saw the TCU secondary get torched by Cal last time they were on the field, and then SMU brings in...
That is the concern.
Yes.
That is the concern.
And SMU brings in a equally potent, if not more potent, passing offense into the Carter, so it'll be interesting to see what happens, and that leads to the biggest question of the week. How many catches does Rashee Rice get this week? He has 10 for 207 and 4 touchdowns so far in the season.
Okay, I think that Rashee Rice is going to have one catch that is then going to result in a fumble after Bud Clark takes his head off. That's what I think is going to happen.
That's very specific.
Yeah, so you watch out for that one. Also, you know, too, I mean, you're absolutely right. Secondary got torched a couple weeks ago against Cal, and, you know, no one was shy in voicing their opinions about it. I certainly wasn't shy about throwing a couple of jabs CJ Caesar's way in my video.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Not the worst jabs that Caesar's ever gotten, by the way.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I was going to say, though, yes, there were breakdowns in coverage, but can we talk about how absent the pass rush was? I think that is just as concerning, and, you know, really a lot more responsibility should rest on those guys' shoulders, because those are the guys who are supposed to be, they're supposed to be out there. I mean, this is a good defensive line, talent-wise, on paper. And, you know, when you're not getting pressure, that puts pressure on your defensive backs, and the pass rushers are non-existent against Cal.
No, they were not. I think GP mentioned that Cal at times used seven blockers to give their passing game more time, but I don't believe that was their entire look the entire game. So you've got to get more push than that. And Kari Coleman not being out there and no real update on his injury is a little bit concerning, but I bet we see him sooner rather than later, but still concerned about not seeing him on the field yet.
Hopefully against Texas. And, I mean, here's the thing is we all know that, you know, Dylan Horton is kind of a mystery. We've heard good things about him. He hasn't really proved it yet. We know what O'Shawn Mathis is capable of. And It's time for him to show it, you know, because I love that kid. I got to meet him in person this past summer. He's a great kid, super talented, and just, dude, be who we know you are. We need you to, you know, and all those defensive tackles that we've got that are just so, we're so stacked at that position. Got to get more pressure because that, especially while we're waiting for Noah Daniels to come back, it's another one that we don't know when exactly he's going to come back, while we're waiting for guys like Bud Clark and TJ Carter to come into their own as starters. You need those four guys up front to do their job.
But we see O'Shawn Mathis do this every year, get high praise from GP, saying he's going to be the next Jerry Hughes, and then he sputters out for the first five or six games and finishes really strong every year. And I think he's a totally different threat when you have Kari Coleman on the opposite versus Dylan Horton. You say Dylan Horton's an unknown. I think we know he's a fine player, whereas Kari Coleman is an elite pass rusher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got to get him back. Hopefully against Texas. Hopefully we'll have him back against Texas. Uh-huh. I know that was kind of the plan that a lot of people were anticipating whenever his injury was first announced.
And hopefully
that's true.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll be 3-0 against Texas again. Can SMU really soft schedule so far? Great offense. They're always kind of meh on defense. And then you got TCU coming in. Should be well balanced. Defense looks suspect against Cal. Offense put up big plays, and we saw Max Duggan just miss on several deep balls last time we saw him on the field. If he hits two of those, that game is totally different.
Oh, totally different ball game. Totally different. And the offense is so close, man. I mean, and you said it. They came out to a slow start. By the end of that game, the offense was humming. And it's just, you know, I feel like, hopefully with the bye week, I feel like we're just on the cusp with this offense being something special. So, you know, Frogs fans, be patient. Don't jump off the cliff just yet. Don't start hating Max. I got some friends who want to start hating on Max. Don't go doing that now. Okay, we got a good thing going on, and hopefully this weekend is when we really show it.
Yep. See Max and Quentin Johnson connect for a couple more deep passes like they did on Saturday. had the 18-yard score and then the 45-yard pass where he had, I'm going to say, the slowest spin move of all time, but it was effective as Quentin broke through the defense and ran it in from 45 yards out. And then Duggan, of course, did Duggan-type things. And the TCU defense held on against Cal. And I think we'll see a similar – do you think they'll see another slow start? They do tend to start slow against SMU.
Yeah, but I think a lot of the time it's because, you know, as much as you preach in practice, hey, SMU's going to be up for you. Hey, this is a rivalry game. I think most of the time the reason TCU gets off to slow starts against SMU is because somehow the kids are always a little bit caught off guard, like, oh, these guys came to play, and we need to wake up. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I don't think there's going to be any of that this time around. SMU has done nothing but talk trash, as exhibited by Rashee Rice, for 2 years now. They've been hanging out with that skillet, which is not rightfully theirs. And they have in the last couple of years, they've proved, you know, Sonny Dykes has them as a program on the rise. This isn't a team that you can just, it was never a team that you could just show up to beat, but it's certainly not now. And now you've got revenge in the pot, mixing up things as well. So I really think that this is the year that TCU can make another statement in this series. All right. And lest we forget, my accurate player of the game pick for the Cal game.
You did.
Zachary Evans.
You did nail the Zachary Evans player of the game picks. So that means you get to go pick first this time.
Okay, well, I shall. But I'm just going to say, like, we got him on our team, too.
Yeah, Zach Evans is still on the Frogs roster. Now, if people want to pony up some money and start paying him to be on the Frogs roster, that'd be nice before he gets coached by an SEC school. But
yeah. Y'all, what would Dick Lowe do? I want you to ask yourself that question if we got any boosters listening to this podcast. Go and do your thing. we don't need anybody getting poached
dig deep.
From this team.
You need him. You need Trey Hodges Tomlinson. You need Maxwell Duggan. You need Q to stay.
Yeah. Let's not be stupid and not take advantage of these new rules that are now so easy to abuse and we should be taking advantage of.
Yep.
We shouldn't allow the SEC to just... You know, they've been cheating anyway. Let's not let them be better at it now that it's legal for all of us.
Not let them legally cheat better.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so are we ready to talk about predictions for this game?
I'm ready if you are. Let's get something else you want to throw out there.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't feel like there's that much else to say other than if you're not excited about it yet, you need to get excited.
Get excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fun whether we curb stomp them or whether it is a... too close for comfort game. But I do think the Frogs win, because of course I do. Let's see. I think the offense is going to hit its stride. I think we're going to score some points. I visualize this as a 45 to 28 win for the Frogs.
All right.
So not on that, you know, I'd like it to be worse. But, you know, SMU, they've got a good offense. I'm under no illusions that they will not score points. So, 45-28, I don't want to pick Zach again. So, I'm going to pick Max as the player of the game this week because he's going to hit some of those long passes. He's going to have three passing touchdowns and one rushing touchdown.
Wow.
And have himself a day. And people are going to start to be like, oh, this Max Duggan. Maybe we've been a little hard on him through all of the nonsense circumstances that he's had to deal with. Maybe he is actually pretty good at this. And, you know, maybe the immediate future is very bright.
Yeah. I hope you're correct. I think it'll be a little bit closer than that. I think it's going to be the usual, hey, something stupid happens in the first quarter. Things are closer than they should be. It's a one-score game at halftime. But I think TCU ends up winning 34-24. On the power of Quentin Johnson, and his 222 yards and three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns for QJ. Wow.
Three tutties.
I'd love to see it, though.
Three tutties for Q.
You know, technically we could both be right. I mean, Max could throw three touchdowns all to QJ.
Yeah, no.
And then run for another one.
That's kind of what I'm banking on, honestly, is both of us being correct.
Yeah. Hey, I love it. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. All right. Speaking of winning, I am looking up the soccer score because it is happening right now. TCU just took the lead on Kansas. It is 1-0 in the second half and the opener of Big 12 play. So again, we are a football school here. No doubt about that. TCU is number 8 in the country in soccer. They dropped from number 5 after the 1-0 loss to now number 6 Pepperdine over the weekend. They did beat Ohio State and Alabama on the road last week. Like I said, off to a good start here in Big 12 play against Kansas. They do host Baylor at 1 o'clock Sunday, and I have a trivia question for you.
Okay.
When was the last year TCU scored a goal against Baylor?
Okay, I think you put this in the show notes.
I put it in the show notes, but if it wasn't in the show notes, what would you have guessed?
Shoot, man. I mean, Baylor's been good for a minute. Let's say 2017.
Well, so someone did read the show notes. I'm proud of you. Yes, that was the last time TCU scored versus Baylor, which is kind of crazy to think. Like, oh, we're really great at soccer now. But again, these two teams played to a scoreless tie last season, and then TCU got shut out in 18 and 19, and the Frogs won on a penalty kick in the Big 12 tournament in 2017. Was the last time they beat them. And they beat them, I want to say, in Fort Worth that season as well, 2-1 on a penalty kick in overtime. So, yeah.
You know, that's surprising since no one comes to Fort Worth.
Right. No one ever comes to Fort Worth. But, yes. It's just crazy. I was like, man, they haven't scored against them in 4 years? And it just sounds crazier than it is, I suppose. It is soccer, but still.
It is soccer, though, yeah.
Yes, but then they visit Texas on Thursday. It's always good up for Texas. And then volleyball is underway to start Big 12 action this weekend. They're 6-4. They visit Iowa State, who is 8-3. And they host Oklahoma next weekend to their first home Big 12 action of the season. So,
yeah, volleyball team, you know, once it gets into the Big 12, that's always when it gets real. And, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, they started real slow last season, so hopefully they get a little bit better this season. So, Twitter questions. You got anything else you want to mention?
And I don't believe so. You'd think there'd be a lot more to get into after the bye week, but it's just, you know, waiting on pins and needles for that. The next 11 o'clock kick.
The only person talking is Rashee Rice. And yes, I did mean to mention that earlier. Again, TCU Texas 11 a.m. next week. I'm sure Texas Tech the next week will also be at 11 a.m. because the Big 12 title game has also been announced. It'll be at 11 a.m. in December. So they're just getting TCU primed for that game all the way through.
Hey, but you know what? I am so glad. Wait, is Texas Tech officially 11?
No, they won't announce that till Monday, but I'm just assuming.
Okay. Well, because I hope so.
I hope so too.
For that game to be at 11.
That one, I hope.
I do not want any part of AT&T Jones at night.
No,
nursery.
Do not want a night game in Lubbock. So hopefully that'll also be at 11 a.m. Just get used to that time spot. Get used to that,
dude. I understand why people don't like it. I get it, and you know you don't want to deal with the heat, and the night game atmosphere is more fun. But I really like 11 o'clock games because. You know, the game gets over with. You still have the whole day in front of you. For me, that means I get to get my video done quicker. 11 o'clock games almost never conflict with my wife's schedule, so that's great. You know, I put this hot take on Twitter like last week or something. I was like, 11 a.m. games are good, actually. And I know Coach P has gone on record as saying the same thing.
Oh, yeah, he loves it. That's a couple extra hours to prepare for whoever's next, so...
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
I do have another thought.
Yeah,
but go ahead and say what you're gonna say.
Well, whenever like I was covering games, 11 a.m. was always nice because then you're usually done around 3, and then that 2:30 SEC window is always pretty good, and then you got the night game to go home and watch. So, like this weekend, the A&M Arkansas game at 2:30 looks like a lot of fun.
You know, I always think it's gonna be fun, and then it never ends up being any fun.
Those games have been ridiculous over the past few years. Have you not been?
But A&M always wins. That's what's not fun.
Well, you're right. It is not fun when A&M wins. But these games have always been kind of stupid when A&M and Arkansas plays at Jerry World.
Yeah, well, that is correct. They are stupid most of the time.
Yep.
But the result is equally stupid. I did want to say, you know, you were talking about that Rashee Rice is doing the talking for everybody, which, you know, thank you, Rashee Rice. Thank you for just adding that extra fuel to the fire, as if our players needed any more reason to want to absolutely destroy you and your friends. But, you know, it's times like these, as frustrating as it can be for media and as frustrating as it can be for, you know, folks like me who are trying to get player availability and trying to get players to do extracurricular things and speak and do all that stuff, I am very appreciative that in moments like this that they are under such lock and key. Because, you know, if somebody wanted to say something stupid like that from TCU, they didn't have the opportunity to. And frankly, that's great. I'm glad that nobody has any bulletin board material from SMU for us.
Yeah. But while you were talking about that, over the last seven meetings between A&M and Arkansas, only two have been by more than one score. A&M's won all of the games, but so five of the last seven have been one-score games. I think three of them have gone to overtime. So,
yes, that's true.
Yeah, they're always stupid fights. But you're right, A&M always does win the stupid fight. So,
yeah,
which makes it
even
more. Yeah,
that's what bums me out.
All right, Josh Davis at Javis Davis asks, is KMK the right choice? And I don't fully understand this one, but any time to get Keegan-Michael Key in there is a good thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I saw it, and Josh Davis, friend of the show. What's up, Josh? Good to hear from you. So, yeah, I don't know what that's in reference to. I don't know if there's some sort of Mario movie, which will be a Mario movie reboot at this point. I don't know if you've seen the Super Mario Brothers movie with John Leguizamo and...
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember who else was in that movie. It was terrible.
It was terrible, so yeah, yes.
I don't know under what context that Keegan-Michael Key is towed, but I believe in my man. I think he can do a good job. He always understands the assignment. You know?
The more I stare at this picture that he put with this random comment, the more I agree with it. Yes, he is the right choice.
Yeah, I mean, I see no problems.
Who else was in
that
movie?
I don't know the context, but I see no problems.
Okay, so here you go. They are going to apparently announced 2 hours ago they're going to make a new movie coming out next December, and Keegan-Michael Key and Chris Pratt are two of the main voices in there.
Oh, okay.
And so
I do hope that Keegan-Michael Key speaks, I hope that he voices Toad with a voice similar to that he gave Ducky in Toy Story 4, so it's like a very sassy Toad and not like a high-voiced helpless Toad, just because that'd be very funny. to have Toad with this very, like, doesn't take any crap voice.
You got Seth Rogen, Charlie Day, and Chris Pratt will be Mario and Luigi. This is the first I'm hearing about this.
Wow. Yeah. What? Okay.
Nothing says Italian like Chris Pratt and Charlie Day, but sure.
Yeah, I guess. This is a whole different take on the Mushroom Kingdom.
Jack Black's going to be the voice of Bowser? All right.
I love that. Love that.
Seth Rogen's Donkey Kong? Oh.
Yeah, so Seth Rogen is just going to play himself again.
Yeah, basically. Oh. All right.
A big ape.
The the girl from Queen's Gambit is going to be, I'm guessing, playing Peach. I can't see her role, but she's in here as well. Interesting.
Well, probably. What's her name again? Anya Taylor-Joy?
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what that is. Well, fair enough.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Good for her.
Okay.
All right. So, yes, I'm going to say KMK is the correct choice. I love him and everything, love his voice. Yeah, I'm glad we did a little bit of research on this.
Yeah, thanks for the moment. Yeah. This is what makes for an excellent show.
Yes, it does. Randomness. Doug at Surgery Dude. Will SMU try a fake punt or unexpected onside kick? That's almost a guarantee, right? The fake punt's almost a guarantee.
Yeah. They aren't as gadgety as you might think that they're going to be. But, they always pull out all the stops for us.
Yeah, he says, if yes, what are the odds of it being successful? He says 50% they do one of those two and 90% chance of success. I will tell you, if they do a fake punt, it will work. It will 100% work, and I will say they pull one off. I'm going to say it's a 67% chance.
Yeah, I agree 100%. If you... if they run a fake punt, which they likely will, it's going to work.
Yeah.
Onside kick, less likely. We do practice hand seam a lot more than we practice punt safe.
Yes, I agree with that.
The real question is the likelihood that we, you know, have an opportunity to go up in the game and run a wild frog pass on 4th and 1. Yeah, that's the real question you need to ask yourself.
I mean, I think that's almost a guarantee. That's almost equally as likely as someone converting a fake punt on TCU.
Yeah, just like, what was that?
Yeah. Every time.
Why did we do that?
Your boy Chase Curtis, I think, is he was on the sideline the last couple weeks. I know you missed out on that.
Yeah, you know, just waiting for his moment in the sun, man. Is this it?
This could be it. All right, speaking of this is it, Bayou City Frog has some questions. Regardless of outcome, with as much focus as the team will have on SMU, do you think they'll may lead to a letdown factor next week versus UT, especially given the past few years. It might be a letdown next week, but also I think UT is looking ahead to the Red River rivalry the next weekend.
Dude, no chance TCU ever has a letdown versus UT. No chance.
TCU?
No chance.
Texas has Tech, TCU, Oklahoma back-to-back-to-back weeks.
More likely that Texas, I mean, you got to ask yourself, if you've lost to TCU as much as Texas has, you've got to think that there's no way they look past us. But I do think it's far more likely that they look past us. Yeah. I don't think there's any way. I mean, you know, the SMU game is not going to be... This is why Coach P was like, don't be posting from the TCU Twitter account, oh, hey, we got the kickoff for the Texas game. We're not thinking about Texas yet. We got to focus on SMU first. Okay. Everybody wants to beat Texas. It doesn't matter how many times you've done it. Everybody wants to beat Texas.
Right, but...
Especially now that they're turning tail and leaving... Because they're tired of losing to us.
I know GP knows this, but like they do that every week when the next game gets announced on Mondays. Like it's not a new thing.
Well, like, he was mad about it this time.
Well, like, I guarantee you on Monday when they announce the game time for who's after Texas, it's Tech, right? Isn't it go to Lubbock after that?
Texas Tech.
They'll announce that game time on Monday. They'll announce that 11 a.m. kickoff on Monday, and it'll be before Texas. So we'll see if GP notices that and gets frustrated with that announcement.
Man, what a three-week stretch this is, by the way. It's a symphony of hatred.
Well, then, I mean, I think it's Baylor soon after that.
I think we got Oklahoma before Baylor somewhere, but, like, to have three of your big in-state rivals back-to-back-to-back. I mean, how fun is that?
SMU, Texas, Tech, and then Oklahoma, four straight weeks. So, yeah.
Dude. Yeah, no, man. That's a lot of emotion back-to-four-week stretch. Is Baylor after Oklahoma?
No, you got home for West Virginia, then at Kansas State, then Baylor.
Oh, my gosh. This is a tough schedule, man.
Yeah, the Big 12's good at football. The Big 12's good at football, man. It's way better than the ACC, that's for sure.
Oh, jeez, you're not kidding, man. Hopefully, we're among the best, which I believe we're in that top three. So hopefully, we can prove that.
Hope so. All right, there's a lot of confidence going into SMU. Not saying that they won't win, but their offense matched up really well against our weaknesses on defense. What gives you confidence heading into this one? The athletes,
the bye week,
and the bye week.
Okay, our athletes probably. Yeah, I would say that, yes, our athletes are better. We do have depth. We have good depth and the bye week. I do like that Coach P had, he was speaking with confidence about the secondary after the bye week. And, you know, Coach P usually doesn't just throw around compliments apropos of nothing. So I'm hoping that that was earned and that they have buckled in.
Yeah, giving GP a bye week to fix all his issues, I think is going to be crucial. And then let's play a game called Describe the Overreaction or What's the Narrative. So basically, if one of these three outcomes happens, what's the narrative going to be? TCU wins big or at least just controls the game versus SMU. What's the narrative afterward?
Wait, TCU does what?
TCU wins big or controls the game against SMU. So TCU wins by three touchdowns and yada, yada, yada.
I think that's who we thought they were, and look out.
TCU does what they're supposed to do. They're for real, and SMU is getting by with their soft schedule and fun offense. All right.
Yeah.
TCU barely gets by, but in a frustrating way. Rivalry game.
So are we talking about the narrative from fans or the narrative from, like, media at large?
Let's go fans.
Okay. Fans, you're going to have the camp of people who think we shouldn't be playing SMU in the first place or just going to spend a week angry.
And they're going to want to fire GP. They're going to fire GP and cut
Mass. They're going to fire Donati. Yeah. They're just like, this is stupid. Why are we doing this? I think the narrative for most fans is going to be like, well, I'm glad we have the skillet back. This game is always a pain. At least we won it. Probably your opinion about the team after the Cal game hasn't changed at all. You're just like, thank God we won that. Hopefully we play like we usually play against Texas.
Yeah.
You know.
And then the narrative of TCU loses. Fire everybody. Cut everyone.
Yeah, we're screwed.
We're a failure. GP needs to retire.
we're screwed. Yeah. The whole thing.
That's what I think. All right. Besides blitzing, do you think this is the game we see the pass rush get dialed up?
Man, I hope so.
Hope so, too.
And the thing is, in a 4-2-5, you've got to be able to bring pressure without the blitz. I mean, you really need those four dudes. And I think Coach B has said that, you know, he would really rather be able to get pressure with three. You know, so he can drop another dude back into coverage. Of course, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want that?
I'd rather get pressure with one. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, you got to get pressure from the four. And we've got dudes who can do it. So, yeah. So what's going to happen to dial it up? Hopefully somebody just makes O'Shawn Mathis very angry and he turns into the Hulk.
He's got a Hulk out, man.
Him and, you hear that siren going by my house.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully him and Patrick Leroy Jenkins and Corey Bethley and all these guys, you know, they've got the juice. They've got the ability. Just got to do it.
Got to
see it. Just got to decide that you're going to be that guy. I was talking to Brandon Hassel during the Cal game, and he actually brought up, he's like, what do you think is the deal with O'Shawn? Because at the time we were like, man, what's going on with pass rush? That's an issue. And he was like, what do you think is going on with O'Shawn? Like, he should be so good. And I'm like, I honestly think the only thing I can figure out is that he just hasn't had this moment within himself where he's understood, like, I can be that dude. I just have to recognize that I am that dude and kind of manifest it in myself.
Yep.
You know, he's got the ability. He just needs to get what the Germans call Gutenpist and just do the dang thing. You know?
happy Oktoberfest to everyone that will be celebrating.
Yes.
And they'll be good and pissed this weekend if TCU doesn't win this game. Why is the Dallas versus Forest stuff even a thing when we all know TCU's best players come from the H? That's from Bayou City Frog again. Look at the 5-star running back in the last couple draft picks. So.
Yeah, well, you know, we recruit from Louisiana, we recruit from Houston, but I mean, when you're gonna trash Fort Worth, man, that's that. Talk about make it personal, you know. all of these. So TCU, you know, has been Fort Worth's team since the late '90s. I'm obviously a Fort Worth boy, born and raised. You're an honorary Fort Worth boy, I think I can say, Billy.
Oh,
I mean, you know, I know you weren't born here. You were born here, but you spent a lot of time in DFW.
I mean, yeah.
You know, and everybody comes to TCU, they stay in Fort Worth because this becomes home. This is a great place.
Yep.
It's a wonderful place to be. So, you know, don't come into somebody's house and tell them they got an ugly house and say you would never visit their house and that you don't want to live in their house because it's trash. Get out of here with that nonsense.
And stay.
I forgot even what the point of the question was, but
it the moral of the story is Fort Worth is better than Houston. That's all that matters. And then
100%.
And then last,
Coach P has said. And if he had his way, he would build a fence around DFW and get all of those players in DFW because this is where some of the best talent in the nation is.
Well,
so,
no.
You know, every now and then, yeah, you got to go to Houston, you got to go to Louisiana, you got to go to Oklahoma, wherever, but this is where the gyms are.
Well, now maybe they'll start paying them so they can keep them here. And then
last
question, Bayou City, can you guys use your TCU influencer status to get the game pushed back? He's got two other sporting events with his oldest kid on Saturday. As we just talked about how great 11 a.m. games are, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think I'm barely an influencer anymore. You for sure are.
No, they ain't listening to me. Are you kidding?
I think they're at least looking at you.
They are. They're at least looking at me with either furrowed brows or smirks, depending on who you're talking to. I don't think I have any sway. I can say that much.
Well, I think you got sway. Sway and swag, Clint.
Oh, well, thank you, William.
Yeah. Well, we'll do this again next week. We'll preview the Texas game. Ooh, Texas hate week next week after SMU hate week this week.
Yes, all of this hatred and so little time.
Let it flow through us. Let it flow through us. Clint, what are you working on this week?
I just put out a couple of videos, so go to my YouTube channel. Please hit that subscribe button. Give me some likes, and that's very helpful and much appreciated. I'll, of course, have my TCU SMU reaction video this weekend. So, and I have a couple of, I have a new idea that I just got into the hopper that I don't know how long it'll take me to accomplish, but hopefully it should be funny. But follow me on Twitter at Clint_Foster55. Follow at NoContextTCU as well. I'm having some fun with that account lately. And follow me on Instagram at TheClintFoster. Love to see you.
There you go. And I'll be simply at Billy Wessels. And then, of course, as always, you got Medicare questions, hit me up, because busy season's coming around the corner, starting in here in a couple weeks. So let me know, and we'll be talking to y'all next week.
All right, go Frogs.
Go Frogs.